Hi, this is Alex Romanovich, and welcome to Global Edge Talk. Today is April 1st, 2022, and we're joined by Kate Bespalova from Odessa, Ukraine. Hello, Kate.
Thanks.
Kate is a very interesting guest, and we'll talk a lot about her being in Odessa during the war, during the Russian-Ukrainian war, and which is what everybody worldwide is talking about right now. Let me give you a brief introduction. Kate is a PhD and a full-time professor at the national, one of the largest universities in Ukraine, happens to be in Odessa. It's the National University of Mechnikov, and we'll talk about who Mechnikov is, also with the links down below. He was a Nobel Prize winner, and he was actually very famous in Ukraine and the former Soviet Union. Kate has a very great distinction of being a teacher, of being a professor of English and liberal arts at the university. But she also has a very interesting background in marine and maritime work that she has done. When she attended the Maritime University in Odessa as well, and she will talk more about that. She's a maritime merchant officer in the past life. We'll talk more about that. Obviously, Odessa is located on the Black Sea, so it has it's a beautiful port, a very important port logistically, and also a beautiful port and a number of different beaches, and it's just a beautiful city. We'll talk more about Odessa as well. My grandfather is from Odessa too, by the way. So Kate, welcome to our studio. We're looking forward to your conversation. Tell me more about yourself. Tell me more about what you do right now. Obviously, I spoke about your accomplishments, but in your own words, what is it like to be in Odessa during the war with the Russian aggressors?
Thank you, Alex, for giving me the chance to talk today. Well, my story, as you already told, I was born in Odessa, have been living all my life here. It's a port city, as you already mentioned it. I have like two professional fields that appealed to me much, both of them. Okay, on the one hand, you know, it was kind of chess. I come from a family of maritime officers. That's why, but they have never had a boy. That's why, I decided to please them. And after I've already completed my graduation at Odessa National University, and I used to be a teacher at that time at university, I decided that I want to have the second education, like for me and a present to my father, late father. But what is going on right now in Odessa is too far from merchant marine, because our port that has always been busy day and night, right now it's silence. There is no noise of the city, which is usually a bustling city. Usually in Odessa, the 1st of April is the April Fool Day, and Odessa is known since time of Soviet Union as the capital of humor of former Soviet Union. But today there are no celebrations. However, people here, they're still laughing. They try to make jokes. Okay, we're optimistic, very optimistic. The locals are special. Even when we speak about Odessa, it's kind of a melting pot of nationalities, of characters. It's a special city. Like, we're Russian-speaking Ukrainians with very many Jewish people, with very many Bulgarian, Romanian people who are Georgian and Armenian who are living side by side together. Like, they make their certain contribution to special Odessa language, which we say right now it's not Russian language, it's Odessa's language. The humor is special, the cuisine is special. And right now, we are trying, you know, to survive and to feel in this situation. Like, of course, we are not only watching the news as the people are doing around the world. We are feeling what is going on in the country. And today, more and more, I would say, internally displaced people, like refugees from Mariupol or from Kherson, they're getting to Odessa right now. That's why the city, on the one hand, we feel that some locals, some citizens left the city and there are no traffic jams on the roads. However, we feel that new people are coming every day to Odessa. And right now, I cannot say that the city doesn't function, because if we get out right now in the streets of Odessa, we can see like small shops, the business started like working. There are some small cafes, little shops, bakeries, as well as huge supermarkets. Everything is working. Spring in Odessa. People are walking in the park and they try somehow to support those who are coming to the city every day from Ukraine. Because like we think, it's our local spirit, that this support, I mean, psychological support, like showing maybe it's kind of a false and deceitful thing, but we like try for some moments to cheat on them and giving them the idea that everything is okay and trying them to switch off from disasters that those people who came from, most of them from Mariupol right now in Odessa and from all over the country right now. But the way I see it from doing some voluntary job right now, we know that many people from the majority are from Mariupol. So as for Odessa, we are praying every day, I think, whether we are agnostics, non-religious people or belong to different religions, which is typical for Odessa, many Jewish people, like both Orthodox and Catholic, but everyone is praying for the situation for Odessa not to deteriorate, not to get worse. Working, alive, not, you know, stuck at home. And what we were told a couple of days ago, that there is support from our government, from authorities, that like businessmen would get even a tax reduction if they start working right now, which is very important for us, because as we are living right now, honestly, it's peace in Odessa, it's very peaceful. So this region of Ukraine must work actively to, let's say, to support economics, because in most of the other, like in some cities, you know, it's absolutely everything stopped. No electricity, no gas supply, no water and sewage supply. So it's like, it's disaster. While here in Odessa and Odessa region, everything is more or less, I mean, like, absolutely comfortable for our citizens. However, what we feel and we expect some evil every day, because we don't believe that, okay, Russian troops won't attack us. So this is, we're living with this state that in an hour, in a day, in a week, something still may happen here.
It is my understanding that the Russians have tried to actually land on some of the Odessa or near Odessa beaches, and they were deterred by the armed forces, Ukrainian armed forces. But it is also very visible. By the way, we will show some pictures of Odessa today. We will show some pictures of. You know, you can provide some additional photographs as well. But Odessa is very much a barricaded in some parts of Odessa. It's a home of many beautiful sculptures. It's a home of many beautiful art, buildings, art from an architectural standpoint. And what happened in Mariupol, another port on the Azov Sea, not too far from Odessa, is absolutely devastating. So the refugees coming from Mariupol to Odessa, I'm sure they're very welcomed and they're cared for. And it's just a tragedy all around. I've been to Odessa a few times, and it's just such an amazing, beautiful, diverse, cultural city with so many amazing architectural enclaves and monuments and so forth. And the spirit of Odessa, the spirit of the people, just absolutely, absolutely impressed me in terms of being stoic, being proud, being humorous, as you said, being very multicultural. You know, a lot of famous writers came out of Odessa as well, famous Babel and many others that have written about it, written stories about it, and so forth. Let's talk about you, however. And let's talk a little bit about your early days. I think it's really interesting within the context of entrepreneurs or entrepreneurial spirits disrupted by the war or major events like this one. You were a graduate of a maritime merchant school, and you even served on the number of merchant ships. And so tell me, as somebody, as you mentioned, somebody who, a woman in the early days, obviously a young girl who tried to appease your family. As it happens in some families, especially from the older generations of former Soviet Union, and so forth. I was told to be an electrical engineer by my father because he was an electrical engineer as well, right? So he basically said, what are you going to do? You come from an engineering family, you might as well be an engineer yourself, right? So this dynasty of engineers, or in your particular case, the maritime merchants, and so forth. Tell us about what it was like to grow up and to mature and to make a decision like that for a very unusual, for that time and for that region and for you, profession, so to speak, right? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, that was my personal challenge, first of all. And as for, it's considered not a female job, to be on board of merchant vessels. And right now, the situation, the general situation for this profession, for ladies in merchant fleet, it's more or less regular for Europeans. But still, as Ukrainian women, however, like there is a new trend, we can see that women all over the world, they occupy some managerial positions. Still, I think that Ukrainian ladies, however, they are family oriented and less career oriented than if we compare with the average girl, in Europe or in States. My choice was the trigger was like my family matters. I wanted to, maybe to please my, it was like a, not only my dad was a deep sea captain, as we called it in Odessa. So both of my grandfathers, they were also captain and a chief engineer on board the vessels. Then my dad in the end of 70s, he was a captain on one of the biggest vessels in Soviet Union that was working with satellite connections connected with the space era. So that was something that was not just simply merchant, but kind of a vessel connected, engaged in connection of satellites. So, the era of 70s, that's why my dad, when I was a little girl, he told me stories about that. So I was brought up with this. And especially for Odessa, that was kind of, something really special about this profession. Then as I got my diploma, I wanted to prove to myself that I can really, make it. What came to my mind these days, when we have this horrible war today. I could not imagine like 10 years ago being in some African countries, like developing countries where like there were like the vessel I was working on. She brought wheat, if I'm not mistaken, to Somalia or to Djibouti and Eritrea. And I looked, okay, because I traveled around Europe, but I have never been to ports and I didn't see like Africa, African countries, not as a tourist, so to say, with Porsche hotels or something, but from inside, it's like being there as an employee, say, on board of the vessel. And I couldn't imagine, okay, that soon, okay, not soon, but 10 years, you know, in the historical period of time, that's nothing. In 10 years' time, my country would turn into a country which is begging for help, both, okay, support from European countries, not, okay, like in some huge economical, I would say, sphere or some professional expertise. So just simply what we are having right now, we are the country who asks for help to give, I don't know, something from food to medical treatment, different medical devices, and I don't know, even like whatever is possible, from clothes, from any like simple equipment that is just now coming to Ukraine from all over the world. But I would, in my worst dream, okay, I could not imagine that one day my country would get into such trouble as those like countries, developing countries far away somewhere in Africa, because we are in the heart of Europe. And it was like only the stories from my childhood that we heard about the Second World War from our grandparents. But it was like something from ancient times. We could not imagine, even those who follow political news, who more or less are interested, okay, what is going on in the world, we could not imagine that one day we would have war in this splendid city you were talking of, with the beautiful tourist streets.
Yeah, and you certainly couldn't imagine that the war would be with the closest neighbor, right, culturally and geographically, right, the Russian Federation, which is still bizarre.
Because Odessa is a Russian-speaking city. Historically, what we call Odessa as a city, not just a former settlement of some like little village, but what we know as Odessa, it was founded in 1794 by a decree of Catherine the Great. Why it's so special? Because she attracted different professionals and experts from all over the world historically. That's why the streets, they look like European, because the architects were French, Italian. From economical point of view, she gave very beneficial conditions for people from all over Europe to come to develop this city. And being a Russian-speaking Ukrainian city, for us, for most of us, what is there in our documents, we have our citizenship. We are all Ukrainian. But what is there in our blood for those Russian people, Russian-speaking people, brought up not only with Ukrainian cultural traditions, but knowing the history of Russia and taking it for granted that it's also kind of our history. So for us here to see that the person, it's not fascist, okay, with Adolf Hitler, who's somewhere from far away, who comes to the land, who speaks the same language as we do, and explains that he came here to defend us. From whom? From us. So we can't make it out how it all could have happened to us.
Clearly, this is a very bizarre development that many in the West are trying to understand. I mean, I spent probably an hour to 2 hours every day trying to explain to my American friends and family members who are still young and don't remember the history and so forth, as to why and how it could possibly happen. The countries and the cultures that are so close in history, so close in cultural ties, so close in terms of families being formed from both locations, from both cultures, are in the most, you know, most fearsome, most severe war that could, most barbaric war that could possibly happen at the hands of the the president of the Russian Federation, and obviously the armed forces. And you're still there from the from Odessa, that is barricaded, that is ready to defend itself, that has plenty of Molotov cocktails, and obviously the in addition to the armed forces of Ukraine, it's a bizarre, it's a very bizarre development, and it's a very tragic one. Luckily, so far, Odessa is not being, shelled, although some parts of Odessa have been, or Odessa suburbs have been attacked by the Russian ships, and the guns from the Russian ships, and the and so forth. But the heart of Odessa is luckily still, thank God, is not being touched, and hopefully will never be touched. It's a very peaceful city. It's a very beautiful city, very quiet, cozy, just like, you're absolutely right, just like a beautiful, French or Italian or Spanish or Portuguese port city, with cafes, with culture, with, beautiful sightseeing and so forth. How do, I know you teach a lot of entrepreneurs worldwide. You teach communication skills, you teach English, and so forth. In your experience with your students, how are they taking this? Both local and remote students, how are they taking these events? What is your communication with them, and how are they reacting to this, so to speak? Because obviously they're very curious, and they're about you. Not only that, but they're also come from Ukraine, from some of the cities that they probably left and went to Europe or went to America or something like this. But tell us about your students and tell us about how they react to all of this.
Well, thank you for this question. How are universities, most of the universities in Ukraine, which are not affected by actual ceasefire, so we are working right now. We are working online, and I could not imagine that I would say, but thanks to COVID, we can do it quite smoothly working online right now, because we had kind of appetizer with COVID right now, and for not only for students, but I think for many people in Ukraine, this COVID was kind of a, kind of teaching how to deal, how to not to lose contact with people in working conditions, as well as with the relatives, with friends, being constantly online. My students, definitely, they come from all over Ukraine. And right now, they join our lectures, and practical classes. It's honestly, it's rather tough to work in such conditions. However, we want to give, as teachers, as those who like mentors for them somehow, to make them feel like at least in regular conditions giving classes. However, it's difficult because when in one region there is an alarm of siren, telling that they have to go to some shelters. And, after someone leaves, imagine that the rest, are still thinking how this person's going to feel, what he or she feels right now. My personal statistic says that about 70% of all my students join these classes. Usually, like a normal practice about, sometimes students, they play truant, they skip their lessons. But today, I would say that even those, it's kind of to switch off from reality. And they understand that Their future depends greatly on their success, on their progress. They want to get diplomas as well and to succeed, not to fail with exams, okay, which are soon to come soon. Some of them already left. They left Ukraine, and they're staying in some in different, like there are different locations around Europe, in Poland and Czech Republic. So they are, as far as I know, they are offered by many European universities quite beneficial conditions to study. But as the most of them, they are students of the third or the fourth in my story year of education. They want still to get Ukrainian diploma, and they don't want to give up. And still being abroad, they study, they join us. Some of them tell the stories that they want to start doing some volunteering job because they're young people. And young people are usually active participants of some charitable organization, like doing many volunteering. They being outside of the country, they participate in different activities and funds, trying to help Ukrainians who are still here. Well, that's only the future that will show us how many of them will return. Because even before this war that is on, many young people, they were in search of educational opportunities abroad. And even Czech Republic and Poland got many grants for young people. But still, if they had to pay for education, they didn't want, okay, because like the price for some average Ukrainian families to study abroad was rather high. Right now, where Europeans, okay, offer such conditions, we are local teachers, okay, and local professors, we are afraid that we are losing young and talented, because those who leave, usually they are active, they are not like passive, proportion of population. So it's sad, actually. And retired and elderly people, mostly Odessa is full of these people, okay? I had to just walk outside a couple of hours ago. They saw that the streets in the very heart of Odessa, they're not very many young people, but the elderly people, it's springtime, they are walking along the streets. And you know what we hear in the air? What is in the air? In the air, there's only talks about what was in the news today around the whole country. People who have never been experts on war, okay, some of them try to read to understand those, like elderly ladies sitting somewhere in the park, they discuss javelins and Bayraktars. That's like something that we could not imagine, okay, a couple of months ago, right?
Absolutely. And that's very, very Odessa-like of the population there. So, what are your thoughts on leaving, by the way? Have you thought of leaving Odessa and going, going to Europe or going to other places, waiting this out, so to speak? Or have you consciously thought about this and decided to stay? What tell us about that sort of psychology and that psyche of you making that decision?
Well, I'm an experienced traveler, but I've never thought, okay, that's my personal concern, and I'm fully concerned that I'm going to stay here. Maybe I'm a fatalist, I don't know. But I can't imagine my life, okay, for permanent reason to work for a couple of months or a year abroad, it's one story. When we travel around the world, okay, we've got our money, we spend them, okay, and we are welcomed as those who bring money to the economy of the country. But I was born here. So maybe it sounds okay for the 21st century. It may sound a bit childish, but I'm really patriotic about my city. I cannot imagine that I leave forever and ever my home in my beloved Odessa. We call Odessa in Russian and in Ukrainian languages, we have the category of gender. So we call Odessa Mama. For me, even if I'm offered very good conditions, okay, maybe for a period of time, but not now. it's now like, it's like running away, escaping. You know, there is a proverb that rats are running away from a sinking ship. I'm sorry, man, it sounds like as though I was like a pioneer in Soviet Union. But no, I'm not leaving. Okay, meanwhile, we hope that we won't face the situation. Okay, the conditions like in Mariupol, where you don't have a choice. But still, right now, many people left the city. And what is in the air also, like maybe it's a very awkward situation because some people, I want to say, kind of angry at their family members, at their friends. So we are here. We decided to support this country, to support this city. While some people, they were so afraid, especially the first days, when people left their homes, they just jumped into their cars or like any like neighbors' cars. They didn't pack their baggage or something. They just took jackets, okay, I don't know, one bag, and they ran away because they were so scared. That's why they could not think, I would say, practically, taking their children who were really scared and about the sirens, and they couldn't like have even a plan, without any plan what to do further on. Right now, some people, honestly, they say that they will not come back because they use this chance to settle in Europe. Some people are crying that they want back home, and they are like hesitating where to come back now or in a week. But the society, I think, maybe it's my female's, you know, humble opinion, but it's split because I heard it very often that we can't forgive those who left this city, especially Odessa, because there is no ceasefire right now. There is no fires. Yes, there is fear that anything may happen tomorrow, but right now it's peaceful. So why? And like on the one hand, people are very supportive. They support each other. Volunteers bring food to elderly people. They just ask if, like, I don't know, young mothers left with their children while the fathers, okay, in this family, they went not only to serve military forces, but they joined some kind of defense group to defend Odessa. And there is support inside the country. But what is going on, like, between friends, those who are split right now by borders, like through like but several countries, that's kind of, we will see, maybe the situation will change, but psychologically it's some kind of awkward feeling.
It is so difficult for us living in peaceful cities right now to really comprehend and understand what's going through your mind, what's going through your soul, your heart. And, we thank you for sharing those feelings with us. One last question before we end this interview. And by the way, we will continue to speak with you on a regular basis if you allow us. I think it's a very, very interesting story of someone like yourself being in the city, not giving up, not leaving the city, sticking with it, and so forth. Tell me, more on the philosophical side, how did this experience change your entire value system? What sort of going through your mind right now and your heart, your soul, in terms of what's important and what's not important anymore? That's one question. And the second question I want to ask you, almost as a conclusive remark, is what advice would you give to our audience globally? A lot of women, by the way, are watching, will be listening to this and watching this broadcast. And as a woman, I would like for you to also give some kind of advice or share some thoughts with women worldwide. But first, the value system. How did your value system change?
I think that that's my personal concern, but talking to my friends, okay, we all speak about purification, you know, what is going inside. Like devaluation of some, we devalue some, you know, like we turned out society became a consumerism society, brand-oriented society. Now we understand that that's nothing. Like the more eternal values, eternal things, they are important. And I think it will change us forever. Plenty of us would be quite different people. You know, when you see that's not the horror movie, that's just, you know, one missile and there is no building with people and what they used to work on, strive on, had their plans, you know, bought some expensive gadgets, okay, phones, clothes, like females, you don't need it, okay? And that's not, the next episode, they will not, you know, resurrect because that's real truth. So, I think that this is, we right now believe in more eternal things and less consumers for us forever and ever. We will not need, even Ukraine is still somewhere between a developed and developing countries. You know, like people bought many things in credit. They put off and postponed also many things till tomorrow. Now I think it's not like we live with today. We think about the future, but what I say, okay, let's have it today because tomorrow may not come. Another thing that I've never thought, no plans. You live today. I hope that this is a temporary situation. We still think we want to be optimistic and say when the war finishes and when we win, we will have a film like Renaissance time, okay? And there's going to be a fantastic future for us. But it's very difficult. It's like some incantations, like prayer that we say. Honestly, the first word that came to my mind when we asked you, this is the purification purification inside of us. We don't need many things that we needed. We believe right now that the more eternal things like, I don't know, love, friendship, support, family, they are domineering things, okay? And they are prior. This is our priority right now. And not the things that many people were striving for many years. This is what I think.
Thank you so much, Kate. I want to thank you for being our guest, and I'd love to continue to speak with you and to talk to you no matter where you are, whether it's Odessa or any other place that takes you there. And for our listeners, we will have a lot more information in the text below this broadcast, below here on the website and the landing page dedicated to Kate. Kate, thank you so much once again.
Alex, thank you for sharing this information.
Yes, we wish you well. Yes, we wish you well, and we hope that Odessa will continue to thrive. We know that there will be a renaissance. We know there will be a lot of investment that will be made into Ukraine as soon as the war is over. And we're hoping that it's going to be over very soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alex. Nice day. Thank you.